Welcome to the SRUC podcast. I'm William Ansell, Head of Content and Digital at SRUC. From the 4th to the 8th of March, it is Scottish Apprenticeship Week. So in this episode, we're going to dive deep into the heart of work-based learning and its transformative impact on individuals, businesses, and Scotland's economy. I'm joined today by my guests, two alumni apprentices. The first is Nia Hunter, who won Modern Apprentice of the Year and Agriculture Learner of the Year at last year's Lantra Albers Awards. She did her apprenticeship with Shetland Livestock Marketing Group and studied agriculture at SRUC Barony campus. And we're also joined by Ryan Yule, who was a finalist in this year's Albers and who studied sports turf at SRUC Elmwood, and he's a greenkeeper at North Berwick Golf Club. I'm also joined by Sharon Goodinghill, who is the Senior Marketing and Student Recruitment Officer who focuses on work-based learning and apprenticeships. We've also got Chris Dixon, who is a lecturer in sports turf and greenkeeping at our Elmwood campus. He taught Ryan. And finally, James Orr, who's a Senior Consultant with SAC Consulting and who works out in the field with a variety of farms across the central belt of Scotland. Scottish Apprenticeship Week stands as a beacon of celebration and it illuminates the invaluable contributions of apprenticeships across all sectors. It's a time when institutions like SRUC champion the virtue of hands-on learning and fostering a culture where individuals of all ages and backgrounds can thrive. From empowering individuals to realise their full potential to equipping employers of all sizes with the skilled workforce they need, apprenticeships are the cornerstone of a prosperous future for Scotland. I'm going to start with a question for Nia. Welcome, Nia.
Hello.
Nia, can you share your personal experience with your apprenticeship and the sort of, you know, what it gave you?
Yeah, so first of all, my apprenticeship was an absolutely amazing experience and I thoroughly enjoyed every moment of it. It improved my knowledge and confidence greatly over the 2 years and it gave me the opportunity to work while I learn. I personally find learning practically easier and going to college on block release allowed me to go away and do theory for a couple of weeks and then come home and apply that to what I'm doing. I felt I could progress and develop my skills easier by this format and yeah.
Fantastic. And do you think you would have progressed in the same way in your career as a farmer without the apprenticeship programme?
Absolutely not. Going to college on block release allowed me to go out and gain more experience due to not studying full time. It also allowed me to accept more opportunities to build my profile in the industry.
Great. And what's your future plans? Are you going to do another apprenticeship program?
Yeah, so hopefully I will be starting to do the agriculture management apprenticeship with SRUC. I was really pleased when this opportunity came up because I really miss going to college and the apprenticeship experience. So I'm very grateful in that I can expand on my apprenticeship.
Thanks, Nia. My next question is for James. James, you work with a variety of different farmers. What do you think are the most significant benefits of work-based learning, particularly in the context of agriculture and farming?
Yes, I mean, there's really two points I'm going to make here. So, I mean, one point is with an agriculture, you don't really have to go far to speak to a farmer who, when they told their careers advisor at school that they wanted to be a farmer or work on a farm, and they were told that you don't have to be smart to do that. That's not the case anymore. Farming is a very hard industry to make money in. You need to be very good to make money. But you also, if you're working with complex machinery, you need to know about animal biology, plant biology, and I mean, you're even working with robots in many farms these days. So the age of being able to be like, to not scale yourself up before going into work, I mean, they're over to make a living in farming, to be a good farmer, you need to be suitably skilled. And in agriculture now, we are experiencing a skills shortage across all levels of the industry. So I can say the professional services, the service agriculture sector, we're struggling to recruit appropriately qualified people. But as well as that, within my clients, I mean, I service 120 farms across the southwest of Scotland, predominantly in East Ayrshire and East Renfrewshire. And they're struggling to find people with animal husbandry skills, with those practical on-farm skills that are required. So, I mean, the significant benefit of the work-based learning is it allows people to work while they learn, so they effectively they're earning while they're learning. And it's another route you heard there from Nia. Not everyone's suited to an academic programme. I mean, I'd done an academic programme, I'd done a honours degree with SRUC, then I went on to do the master's in a distance learning course. That suited me, but that's not for everyone. Some people, as I said, learn better through doing things practically, whereas I had the practical background. I'm from a beef and sheep farm, so having that apprenticeship course there really will help people get into the industry who are not wanting to have the time commitment associated with, say, a four-year honours degree programme or with the student debt that comes along with it.
And just staying with you, James, how do you think apprenticeships contribute towards addressing skill gaps and meeting the demands of the industry?
I mean, as I touched on earlier there, but we do have a skills gap. We've got a numbers gap as well. So any other kind of route into the agriculture industry, any other kind of way we can skill up the workforce, get more people into it, make it easier to gain skills in agriculture is surely a good thing. I mean, we've got the degree kind of level courses are quite well covered, as in like the provision's quite well there, but certainly this kind of more kind of practical kind of block release kind of system, the kind of apprenticeship model, is something that's very welcome and will hopefully start to lead to having a much a better skilled workforce and hopefully a more numerous workforce into the agriculture industry.
Yeah, the numbers is a big challenge across a lot of industries right now as well. So, hospitality and lots of others, they're all struggling. So moving over to Ryan. Ryan, how would you describe how studying while working has done to help you in your career as a greenkeeper? Has that been a comfortable balance for you?
I see studying whilst working has really benefited me in terms of understanding why we do certain jobs. Coming on campus for a week and learning more in depth about why, for example, why we vertidrain, stuff like that, different aeration practices, you know, it helps in terms of when it comes to doing that job, you understand the meaning of why you're doing it. In terms of balance, it's super easy to crack on with working on site as well as working on campus. I always make time, it's never been an issue.
Over to you, Chris. What benefits do employers get working with apprentices and from employing a modern apprentice?
Yeah, I think there's a number of benefits to the golf clubs anyway and the sports venues that we have greenkeepers and sports turf apprentices on. Cost savings are always something that golf clubs are looking at the moment. Golf clubs are really expensive venues to run, from overheads to staff to machinery. So any savings that can be made to provide a dedicated, motivated workforce to look after the golf course, that's where I feel we come in. We've got funding available for golf clubs to get put through SVQ level 2 and 3 in apprenticeship level, work-based and block release. And that includes enhancements, you know, pesticide training, first aid, chainsaw, cross-cutting, all these additional skills that's really going to help improve the skill set within that team at the golf club. Motivation's a massive thing within a team. It's always good to give guys direction and an end goal to gain a qualification and move on to the next one. So I think to keep that motivation within the team is also something in order for a golf club to retain staff for the future.
And just staying with you, Chris, how do you think the experience of an apprentice differs from, like, say, a full-time student? What's the benefits or challenges?
Yeah, I think it's great for stretching their knowledge while they come on campus for a week on block release, or stretching their knowledge and practical development on site visit work when I go to visit block release students that are coming to the end of their programme, or work-based students that are ongoingly requiring 13 weekly reviews. So I go out and I'm an ex-greenkeeper to trade myself. So I like to share practice with these greenkeepers and make them feel comfortable that their skills are being assessed quite naturally through their own work supervisors. And I'm there to help document that. So for the practical side, it's great. And it can be quite a relaxed assessment plan. And then for their theory, we've got open you know, discussions that can be taking place and recorded. So yet again, quite a natural, fluent way of stretching your own knowledge after you've done the research through our online portfolio system. You know, students opt for block release, and I think that's always a good one to build up a local network within a team at the college. And the work-based, you know, program is another option for making it more efficient, for having regular check-in dates from your work-based tutor. And that way you're not having to go to a campus maybe far away from home for a week at a time. And that way I think we're really going towards blended learning that way. And we are taking a nice mix of classroom environment, workplace environment, and then us going to them to maybe bring local groups together from time to time as well. I think motivation for young greenkeepers just now is something that we want to continue to be there to support that. So having the classroom being their own golf course, I would say, is the best environment they can be in to open up on their knowledge and their skill set, rather than being confined to maybe, you know, a room 5 days a week, you know, right through a whole winter, like a degree would be, for example. So I think just little snippets of classroom learning and work-based site assessment is the perfect mix for an apprentice greenkeeper.
That's great. And over to you, Sharon. Can employers, regardless of size, be encouraged to actively participate in apprenticeship programmes or employ apprentices?
Yeah, absolutely. Across the 10 subject areas now that SRUC offer apprenticeships in, all kind of focused in the land-based sector, we've got employers ranging from sole traders, you know, small to medium enterprises, right up to large companies that operate not just in Scotland but in other areas, particularly within engineering. So Class or AGCO, for example, employ hundreds of people, but also have successful apprenticeship programs with us as well. But certainly for small businesses, it really does give them the opportunity to pick up on skills, research, developments within their industry that as a small business owner they probably just don't have time to keep on top of. So if they've got a young person employed with them who is getting the benefit of learning, increasing their skills and their knowledge, then they're bringing that back into the business as well. So hopefully allowing that business to grow and prosper because of the additional skills that the person, the apprentice, young person or old, and I'll come on to that when we talk about the misconceptions, are actually able to bring into the business. And we do find that certainly employers engage with us really well. They can also utilise other services and training, etc., that we provide within SRUC, which again just adds to the skills and knowledge that the business have and help them to grow.
And from your perspective, Sharon, what are some of the misconceptions about apprenticeships in the agriculture or technical sectors, and how could they be addressed during Scottish Apprenticeship Week?
I probably just alluded it to myself there when I nearly said young person. Obviously, the kind of main misconception, I guess, about apprentices is that it is just for young people. So, well, predominantly, it does tend to be young people. Apprentices can start right from S4 in school if they don't want to progress on to do hires. Some will continue to do their hires in S5 and S6 and then decide not to go into further education in college or a university level course, but go into employment, but want to continue that academic journey. But it's not limited just to young people. Generally, when we think about modern apprenticeships, which is the kind of first level after a pre-apprenticeship that that a person would start on, generally speaking, they're 18 to 24, but we have had a lot of more mature apprentices with SRUC as well. So you're not limited by age, I guess, is the first kind of misconception. Secondly, and I think James, Ryan and Nia have all kind of alluded to the more academic path. James mentioned he had gone to university, done a degree, etc. I think a lot of people have the misconception that an apprenticeship is in some sense less than the academic route, but there's lots of different academic levels within the modern apprenticeship themselves, and they are nationally recognised qualifications. So, for example, our first level of modern apprenticeship would start at SCQF level 5, which is college level, then on to SCQF level 6, which would be roughly equivalent to an NC, a national certificate, so first, second year at college. But we also now have our technical apprenticeship programme, so you're then looking at being at HND degree level, so definitely much more of an academic focus there, but with the benefit of the practical skills and also being able to earn a wage. I guess another misconception is that for some employers it would be too expensive. Generally speaking, there isn't a cost associated with employing an apprentice. It may well be someone who's an existing employee, so you've already got someone in your workforce, but you really are looking to develop and expand their skills, so you don't necessarily have to go out and recruit specifically for an apprentice. Anybody who's an employee in any organisation, small or large, can start an apprenticeship scheme, even if they've been there for, you know, 5 years, 5 weeks, or whatever. It's not not necessarily new employees that you have to recruit to go onto an apprenticeship program.
That's great. Finally, I'll put this question to all of you. What role do you see apprenticeships playing in fostering diversity and inclusion within the workforce, particularly in traditional male-dominated industries like agriculture and sports? Anyone?
Well, I think there's certainly we certainly have a broad range, and yes, definitely in some of the more traditional industries, for example, the land-based engineering and in perhaps agriculture, although I would say the gender balance there certainly in terms of that demographic is closing very, very much so within agriculture. But I think apprentices themselves, if organisations or institutes like us can showcase the kind of shining stars that we've got within a more diverse demographic. For example, we've got Nia here, who's been a superstar apprentice within agriculture, which could be seen as being more male dominated, you know, being Modern Apprentice of the Year, Agriculture Learner of the Year. So I think institutions like ourselves, we really need to showcase, in particular, all of our apprentices and all of our students, but in particular, where it might traditionally be seen as, you know, being slightly imbalanced, whether that's race, gender, disabilities, etc. I think just making sure that we showcase all areas within the various industries.
And Nia, how have you found it being in what's like a sort of traditionally male industry, coming in as an apprentice? How have you found it? Have you found it to be a very supportive environment?
Yeah, certainly, especially on the educational side of things, you're never viewed as being any different. It's a very kind of equal environment, and even through work, I think the gender inequalities is certainly something that agriculture is moving away from, which is brilliant.
Yeah, that's really good. Chris, have you got anything to say on that, on diversity and inclusion?
Yeah, I mean, we with the nature of the greenkeeping industry, it's heavily male dominated. We are starting to see a gradual, slight increase in women coming into golf, and I think the more that we develop our academic model, from apprenticeships right up to degree in the future, we'll be able to attract and showcase, you know, more women working in golf in different departments, not just on the turf, but the business side, the HR, the training and development side of greenkeeping. Sustainability is a massive thing just now, so we're at that kind of crossroads right now, and we're already starting to see more venues with a mix of guys and girls coming through our SVQ model. Because they're realising that the units that they study are not all just about jumping on the heavy machines. You know, they're about treating the turf with fertiliser, organising work plans, you know, applying data to your work plan. All these skills that anyone can have without feeling like they need to be a certain gender for it. We've also got a really international industry. with around 18 countries on our HNC program. So we're kind of a feeder. The SVQ apprenticeship is almost a feeder into that journey. So, you know, we do have a whole mix of golf clubs with international apprentices effectively working at them. You know, people that have maybe moved overseas from the likes of Australia to clubs in Scotland, you know, and they've done their first golf season working on the greenkeeping team. Come September, they're now starting a Scottish SVQ program with us. So it's we're quite lucky with the way that we've got it just now. And the age gap, like we touched on earlier, we've got modern apprentices from 16 up to, I'd like to say, around give or take 50 years old, all starting that formal training at different stages of their career. Or some guys that have come in and began the greenkeeping journey after a career in IT, for example, and then they hit the age of early 40s and they realise what type of career golf can give them. So they start the SVQ journey, you know, as a mature apprentice, which is great.
Ryan, how do you find the industry to work in? Do you find it to be quite inclusive as well?
Well, yeah, similar to Chris, I feel like we're slowly, gradually being able to be more... What word am I trying to think of here? More welcoming to different sort of genders and all that as well. I feel slowly the way society is going, you know, you'll be able to pick up anything.
And James, do you have anything to add to all of that?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what's been said so far, in particular that agriculture's kind of... I mean, agriculture's 20 years ago probably, I would say, could be described as totally male-dominated, whereas now... Well, certainly it's made very good improvements on that. I mean, if you look at just SEC, for example, I mean, we do have a... Well, last time I checked, anyway, and I think that was when I was a student, I had to write an essay on it. But there was a gender imbalance within SEC consulting, and there was more female more females employees than there was male. So, I mean, it is certainly... It's going in the right direction. There's definitely still work to do. But, I mean, as a consultant, going out to... farm businesses that are maybe you could describe as more traditional, so they're the kind of the farm, the age of the kind of the partners running the business, generally in their 60s. Generally, it's the male who owns the farm, and quite often you go to the door, and you'll go and get told to go and speak to him. But as a consultant, you know it's the female partner in the business that you actually need to speak to if you want to find out what's happening financially. Especially so, I mean, women have always been very important in agricultural businesses. They've probably been undervalued or under recognised for the part they've played historically, but certainly now we are, certainly they're playing a much more prominent role these days, which can only be a good thing. And the agricultural apprenticeship programme, by providing another route into agriculture, another route to gain the skills required to be successful, it can only be a good thing.
Absolutely. And it's great to hear stories like Nia's and Ryan's where, you know, they can't imagine doing anything else. This is just the greatest thing. This is the greatest thing for them, is doing this apprenticeship and moving on into that career. So Nia and Ryan, I wish you both very well in your future careers, and I hope everything turns out great for you. And I just want to thank you, the listener, for joining us on this episode of the SREC podcast. As usual, you can listen to all our episodes on your podcast or app of choice. Please subscribe to the podcast so you can get the latest episode notifications. And you can also listen online to all our episodes at sruc.ac.uk/podcasts. Thank you again to Sharon, Chris, Nia, Ryan and James. Thanks so much for your time and for bearing with us. Well, we've had some technical issues with this episode, but we got there in the end. I'll put links to Scottish Apprenticeship Week, the SRUC pages on apprenticeships and work-based learning, and also our alumni stories in the show notes for this podcast episode. I'll also put links to the ALBAs Awards and Lantra in the notes too. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.